Hey everybody, Sarah Grillo here. Welcome back to my podcast. Excited today because I've got Kim Seltzer here. Da 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 da!
I like your sound effects.
Well, you know, it's very authentic. This is a raw podcast, folks. No primping here. Okay. So Kim.
Yes.
Yes. Kim is a makeover and confidence expert. And the reason that I'm having her as a guest is I think that what many people fail to realize about the sales process and about the business development process, and the reason we kind of make it so complicated, is that we fail to understand that it really is about the human connection, human being to human being. And so I'm having Kim on because she has really a plethora of knowledge about having been a therapist, certified style coach, dating coach, and a matchmaker, she's helped hundreds of people find a lasting connection and build valuable relationships using her unique confidence makeover process. And, she's changed their lives by changing their style, emotional, and social intelligence with her formula, the charisma quotient, which I'll be glad to hear about. Probably could use some myself, to be honest with you. And just to help our advisors use the, for lack of a better word, the law of attraction a little bit better to work in their favor and get some new clients. So Kim.
Yes.
So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. I love this topic.
Me too. What would you say is the biggest way that, so just explain the charisma quotient, actually. Let's start with that.
Yes. Well, it's been a journey and, I've done so many things in my life. And first of all, the name of the charisma quotient was kind of born actually this past year. It's the name of my podcast, which you can catch as well on iTunes. And I was trying to figure out, like, how can I explain to people just the magic and the formula that I use to help people connect, help people attract love, help people attract money, abundance, all of that. You know, being a therapist for so many years, I really thought way back when that you had to work from the inside out. And most experts do, to be quite honest. But I flipped the switch, and it's simply because of my own journey. I throw myself under the bus all the time. That I realized there was such an importance to the outside as well that I think often gets neglected, and that there's this symbiotic relationship between the outer and the inner that's so important in building confidence, making people whole when it comes to first impressions and how we attract things in our life. And really it was born because I went through my own stuff, if you will. I don't know if we can swear on your podcast. Do you swear?
Are you kidding me? I'm a very improper person when it comes to my ideas, but I just, let me tell you, we had this one article that I wrote where the editor, put a title that was like kind of, kind of like borderline obscenity, not a real obscenity. And people were like, oh my God. So I do think, financial advisors are still kind of a conservative breed. Sorry,
yes.
Kim. We can you and I can get on the phone a week. I'll let them go. Don't worry.
Totally. Well, that's why I think I used the word stuff. I thought that was like a safer word.
Sorry. Thank you. You saved me.
Anybody can replace that word if they want
to. You saved my Yelp reviews, Kim. Thanks.
You're so welcome. Always thinking of you, Sarah. So, going back to my story, I after practicing for so long as a therapist, and living in Chicago, I was married. I had kind of the Leave It to Beaver type of story, right? I thought everything was going as planned. I had the picket fence and all. Then I move with my whole entire family to La La Land, and I always joke I did what all the other people here do, and we got a divorce. But obviously there were some issues going on, right? It wasn't just being LA, but I like to blame LA sometimes.
You can blame LA.
Yeah, but that's not nice because that happens to everybody. It's not.
Well, it's true, but you're never going to get better at anything if you're always blaming other people, right?
That's right, and that's exactly what I help people with. So, and believe me, it's easy to look outside yourself and not inward. But at that point, everything just kind of like crashed and burned and the record stopped and my, you know, my little fairy tale life. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And really what happened, and this is where the charisma quotient was born and what I do today, is I looked in the mirror. I took a hard look in the mirror. And Sarah, I got to tell you, like, I did not like what I saw. It was pathetic. It was this tired, sad mom with oversized black clothes and Birkenstocks.
Oh, the oversized black. I do that too.
Do you know that? Yeah. Yeah.
I do.
And I do. You have young kids, right?
I do. Mm-hmm. I have three of them, ages 4 and younger. Yeah.
Oh, honey. Okay. So that's where I was. Just so you know, when I got a divorce, that's how old my kids were. Like, they were really, really young. Actually,
it can do it. It can really do that. Yeah. And my, like, right now, even, I mean, like, my hair, like, when I have an event, I go out, or when I have a meeting or something, I pay attention to it. But normally, because I work from home, my hair is like whatever. I haven't worn makeup consistently in like years, you know?
Well, that's the thing. And so on top of being the frumpy mom syndrome, which is so easy to fall into, here I am blindsided by divorce. And I was like, how am I going to get out of my own way? How am I going to go out into the world?
But the divorce didn't help you. Like, it wasn't a catalyst for you to get out of it. Because if I were you, I would have been like, or someone in that situation probably is like, wait a second, I need to date now.
Well, that's what happened after I looked in the mirror, because it was like a reality check. And I was like, how am I supposed to attract love, attract abundance, opportunity, looking like this? And let me tell you, I had a great support system. I was, you know, I went through counseling. I had all the inner work done. I mean, I overanalyzed to death, I think, at that point. And I still couldn't get out of my own way. And so what does a girl do when nothing fits and hates the way she looks? She goes shopping. That's what I did. And this is what changed my life, changed my business, and what I believe in today. I realized that how I was presenting to the world, the outside, was really reflecting how I felt inside. And so in order to shift that, I had to see myself different. So I go shopping, and what do? I pull all the black clothes again, three sizes too big. And this personal shopper, she's watching me, and she said, excuse me, I was wondering if you wanted to try on this. I think this will look really great on you. And she holds up a red dress, red.
And is it sexy Bexy?
Well, I thought it was just, first of all, not me. You know, I'm still in like frumpy mom syndrome. And plus, I thought it was like three sizes too small. And I said to her, that's really sweet of you, but it's really not my color, really not my size. She said, honey, it is your size. It is your color. Try it on. And so I kind of,
ooh, the challenge. The salesperson challenges, actually.
I needed that good kick in the butt. And this is
sometimes
what I do.
You do from a salesperson. Like some people are like, oh, the salespeople are so pushy. But I'm like, when the person needs it, you need to push.
Well, and this is why I do what I do. I mean, I think so many people like know what they need to do in their head. And like, how many times do you say, I should do this? Yeah. People tell me I should do that. Should. But sometimes it takes somebody to hold you accountable, to put you into action in order to feel something different. And that's exactly what happened to me in that moment. I slipped on that dress. I twirled around like Cinderella. I look in the mirror and I was like, OMG. That woman was right. That is me. I just didn't see me for so long. And so I kid you not, from that moment on, my life changed. It was my red dress moment. And I bought that costume, and I call it a costume because I didn't believe it yet. I had to like wear it a lot in order to marinate and it become me. But then a funny thing started happening. People started noticing me. I started having more confidence with people noticing me. Like, it was symbiotic. Again, my confidence started growing. New suitors began to come my way, and opportunities started knocking on my door. And I'm like, you know what? Image matters. How I'm presenting to the world is making such a difference with my self-esteem. I'm getting reinforced for things that are outside of myself. And it started merging into who I am. And I just realized I was able to do something in a short amount of time for myself than years of therapy could have done. And so that's what I started doing. I'm like, I want to do this. I trained with the top image consultant here in LA, and I did a correspondence course called Style Coaching. And I started kind of almost like mirroring the two together, the coaching, the therapy, and the makeover process. And it was amazing to me when people were getting makeovers, how their lives were changing. And it literally just started with, you know, a dress, a shoe, a look in the mirror. And then when people put on their clothes, and this is part of the charisma quotient, the body language changes. You look more confident, and therefore you become confident. So that's kind of where everything was born. And back then, if you were to ask me, do you work from the outside in? I would have said, you're crazy. You have to work in the inside out. But now I flip the switch, and my whole belief is you have to work from the outside in. You have to start with the first ingredient of the charisma quotient, and that is your style intelligence. I raise people's awareness of how to dress, how to present to the world. Is your image matching the vibration of who you are, your personal brand, and especially with business?
But how do you get them? How does a financial advisor do that? Because a lot of what financial advisors do is, like, I don't know how many, I don't know so many of them can, like, go out there wearing a red dress. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, it's a conservative industry by nature. And so how do you, when you're dressed in these kind of, like, maybe like a little buttoned up kind of an outfit, how do you right. still have expression and still allow that to flow, the energy and the vibration to flow?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and a question that I get asked often. You know, I actually did a workshop for Neutrogena, and we were talking about that very thing. You know, what is your personal brand, but also what is the brand of your company and what you do for a living? And here's the thing. I am not like a true stylist. I am an image consultant, and it's different. And, you know, image consultants tend to really focus on more about people holistically, looking at your lifestyle, looking at what you do for a living, looking at your personal life, looking at your body type, your colors, and how can we find outfits that fit that, even where you live. I mean, people who live in New York are going to dress different than people who live in LA. It's just a fact. And so you have to be mindful of that.
Talk about color. How does color align with your personal and professional brand and stuff?
Oh, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. Actually, there's a lot of psychology and studies that have been done on color. And there's certain colors that are power. There's certain colors that demand authority. And then there's colors that hide you. And so again, it's taking a look at, you were talking about financial advisor. Just because you are a financial advisor doesn't mean you have to dress frumpy. And what I mean by that is, like, a lot of, like, I'll have professionals come to me and say, well, it's not appropriate to wear a red dress, kind of like what you did. And I can't do this or I can't do that. I mean, you can do anything you want, quite honestly, but you do have to keep in mind, again, all those variables, like what's appropriate for your culture, where you live, who you are, what your body type is. So I'm very scientific in the way I approach. I don't believe in cookie cutter looks. I believe that, you know, you could still get a fabulous navy blue suit, let's say. Now I'm being stereotypical, of course, with the financial advisor costume, if you will. But, like, you could get one that fits you really well, that's still very feminine, and it demands power. You know, quite often what I see.
Hold on a sec. Let me go back to this part about color. So how does color match with, you know, convey your personality?
Because first of all, when we're talking about, you know, first of all, what you're trying to achieve with color, that's why I said there's psychology behind the colors.
Yeah. Talk to me about that. Like, what, you know, what are the colors that would be good for a financial advisor?
It's not so much like financial advisor per se. Again, like, I don't like to generalize, because then if I say navy, then people are like, oh, Kim said that I have to do navy. Like, I don't believe in that. Because the other reality is, besides that, is your skin tone. You know, not every color flatters every skin tone. You know, if you're blonde and light skin, there's colors that are going to be more flattering for you than if you're dark and olive skin. And so, you know, I think navy and blue are a very safe color, I would say, for everybody. I think most people really look good in it, but there's different shades of blue that could look better on others. And actually, blue demands authority. It's an authority color. And so it's really like an interesting color.
What about green?
Green also is lovely, but green's tough because not everybody looks good in green. So I, you know, like that's one of those colors that's kind of tough. Red is interesting. There's lots of different shades of red, and red is power and money. And so anyone, I mean, especially, I know like you'd say, oh, well, a financial advisor can't wear red. I don't believe in that. I think there's shades of red that would look really nice on you that would demand some, you know, power. But, you know, you don't have to do a tomato red. You could do something that's a little more subdued, like a maroon or wine. You know, actually, that's really big this season. So going back to the, because I know you want to get to some of the other stuff about charisma and the ingredients within. So the style, how you present to the world, your body language is really important in the way you show up in terms of first impression. So when you're going on a sales call, right, and you show up, people are making judgments and assumptions based on two things, and it only takes 30 seconds to make a first impression. It's probably quicker now with technology and Bumble out there. So what happens in the brain, and this is research, not just me saying, is that we base our judgments on what people are wearing and the attitude that people have. And that's the nonverbal stuff. That's what's written on your face. Are you smiling? Are you making eye contact? How is your handshake? What's your posture like? How close are you standing to people? Are you, do you have like a weird
I hate that. The networking function where there's always that like one person that, oh, it's like standing close, that close
talker.
Get me out of here.
I mean,
I've never done
Seinfeld episode, right? The close talker and all that stuff. Here's the thing is that people do business with people they like. So it doesn't even matter. Like you could know everything about your trade, everything about being a financial advisor. But if people can't get past the first impression and the likability factor and connect with you, they're not going to do business with you. And so that's why the style intelligence, raising that for yourself, building that up is crucial when it comes to business and attracting abundance and more sales. So that's where I like to start. And then once we have that down, I go inward and I work on emotional intelligence. And this is really, really big. I mean, again, a lot of studies are out there that shows, you know, all the leaders of the world, people who, you know, do well, have very high emotional intelligence. They're even saying that is even more important than IQ. And so helping people understand how to identify emotions, how to express themselves when they communicate, where people can really feel you when you're talking to them. I think a big mistake that I see a lot of business people do is they'll talk at people. You know, they'll kind of just spew a bunch of facts and, you know, just do this. And they're so busy focusing on the numbers and the knowledge that they have, they forget to connect with people as people. Because you got to remember, most people are hiring financial advisors, especially, they're scared. Like they might be in trouble, you know, and they might also are looking for guidance. They're looking for strength. And it's so important to tap into the emotional side of people and be real and also come from that heart place. It's crucial. So that's the second ingredient, the charisma quotient. Third ingredient is raising your social intelligence. That's how we interact with people. That's how we manage relationships. So it's everything. It's the words you choose. It's the tonality that you use. It's listening skills, right? How you're able to detect almost like social cues. A lot of times, and you know, I actually work with a lot of people in the, you know, just who are in accounting and finances, and you know, what you guys are so brilliant at, and actually this is a muscle that I still need to exercise because this is not my area of strength, is the left brain, right? That's analytical minds think more in facts and numbers and analytics. But when it comes to relationships and managing relationships, that's actually more in the right brain. And so, you know, when you exercise the right brain more and you use both the left brain and the right brain to connect with people, people will want to do business with you. It's crucial. And so it's really fun to work on some of these skills and teach some, you know, communication tricks and how to read people so that they get, you know, more impact with people and your sales will go up. I mean, it all the research is out there for that. So the reason why I call it charisma quotient, just to put a button on it, I believe that those are the three components that make up charisma. When you're more charismatic, you're more likable, you demand more authority, and people like you. And so what I love about it too is that no one is born with charisma. I don't know if you knew that. I think that's fascinating. Like, no one is just like comes out of the womb and says, oh, I'm charismatic, baby. Like, it's a skill that's learned. And I know this to be true because I teach it and I see how people can learn this stuff.
So just because we got to wrap here before we get kicked off the Zoom call,
yeah,
what would be the three things you would say to anybody that's looking to increase their impact to attract other people to them?
Well, I would say, first of all, start small. Because I know that I said a lot, right? And it's like, oh my God, I have to get a whole new wardrobe and I have to do all this like coaching and blah, blah. No, I mean, that's overwhelming. And you know, when it comes to confidence, confidence is experience. So if you don't feel confident in this area or any of the areas that I went over, start small, because those small wins add up to the bigger change and really have the bigger impact. So like in the area of style intelligence, could you get like, you know, a different lipstick? Could you buy just a different pair of shoes that would make a difference in the way that you present? I have a great free body type guide on my website, seltzerstyle.com. If you, that's a great way to start too, where you can measure yourself and you can determine what body type you are. And then I go into like a guide of what clothes flatter that figure, what clothes to stay away from. And I'll give you a blueprint right then and there on what you can do, you know, to better your style and your presentation. So, you know, and then in terms of your emotional intelligence, start small, just start talking more about yourself. Don't always just fire questions or facts at people. See how people relate to you, start listening. And with your social intelligence too, you know, pay attention to how people are responding to you. Are you taking some time to get to know them personally, or are you just like diving right in, you know? And when you do these little things and you see a difference, you know that you're starting to change, and then you keep adding things. And of course, anyone who wants to deep dive and do the deeper work definitely can contact me. And it's my specialty.
That's great. Yeah, I'll definitely include that body guide link.
Oh my God, I would be happy to do that. Yeah. And then I have actually, do you have male listeners? Because I have something for the men too. Or you have mostly women?
Yeah, both types.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because for the men, I have, you're going to love this, a man's fashion manifesto. Because let's face it, men need help too. When it comes to fashion, yet they have nowhere to go and talk about it. Like women, I think it's more accepted to talk about style. Men are looking for that. So I go a little bit deeper into with the man's manifesto and go over like grooming stuff and first impressions and things that they should pay attention to make a great first impression.
Great. Okay.
So I'll give those to
you. All right. Perfect. Kim, thanks for being on the show, and everybody, you know, make sure you check out those links, because you never know when you may be able to up that charisma quotient. So thanks everybody for listening. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast, and we will see you the next time. Bye now.
Bye.